Hi Aida, wenn ich morgens beim Yoga die Sonne grüße und sie abends mit einem Sundowner wieder verabschiede, wenn ich nur einmal packen muss, aber 5 Länder erleben kann, wenn ich jeden Tag an einem neuen Ort aufwache und mich dank dir trotzdem wie zu Hause fühle, dann kann ich uns kaum erwarten. Entdecke mehr auf aida.de oder in deinem Reisebüro.
Zahlst du für dein Hotel vielleicht mehr als nötig? Mit Trivago kannst du die Preise von hunderten Seiten vergleichen und bis zu 100 Euro pro Nacht sparen. Ganz easy. Warum für deine nächste Übernachtung mehr zahlen? Check vor der Buchung Preise auf trivago.de. Hotel? Trivago.
Hello from Meltdown Comics, the Nerd Melt Theater in Hollywood, California. Harmontown is now in session. Let's welcome to the stage the mayor of Harmontown, Dan Harmon.
Happy Thanksgiving. Thank you for making the drive and the treacherous traffic. Good for you. Good for you, folks. So there was some kind of parade or something in L.A., right? Something.
Was it the Christmas parade?
Yes.
Yeah. Really? That's a big parade.
It's a bummer, though. Have you been to it?
No. Yeah,
it's not a good parade.
I assume it's...
No parade is a good parade.
Now, anyway, I saw the Macy's Day one on TV.
Yeah, Ronald McDonald was just scraping his belly along the Broadway.
I don't know if there was a golden age of the Macy's Day parade when it was like, oh, each float is a cultural masterpiece or something. And it just happens that Hong Kong Phooey's in there too. But I think it was probably always a commercial jerk off, right? Like it was probably all each. You know, it's probably all pretty capitalistic in nature. But boy, howdy with the floats and then they just stop and this is like this weird silent boulevard and some kid in a snow jacket does a break dance and the announcers are just going like, there's the buttermilk cracker float, buttermilk crackers, that's Santa's workshop, the crackers go down the chimney and out to all the boys and girls, and there's Alonzo Mosley.
the star of
the character from Midnight Run that Yaphet Kotto played. In point of fact, is who I just named. That's where my brain...
Were he and Hong Kong Phooey in the same parade? Do you want to tell people who Hong Kong Phooey is in case they don't know?
Hey, look, I didn't even know who the hell he was. I only ever knew who Hong Kong Phooey was from the Macy's parade. It would be that hold on float. I don't know if there was still a Hong Kong Phooey, but there was a Pokemon and there was a Pikachu and there was a... the last thing I was, because it was playing in the hotel in Florida, and the last thing on the feed in Florida was Santa Claus. I guess that's how they end. A guy goes, yeah. And as always, the end of all the Thanksgiving parades, there's Santa Claus. Boy, it's great to see him. And as all the kids get on top of the parents, straining. Commercial. That was really funny. You just left with the image of kids on top of parents straining. Anyways, whatever.
Well, normally it's the other way around.
Yeah, usually the parents strain on top of the kids. Yeah.
It was funny.
In Pervland. Yeah. Is that Lorraine Newman's husband? He's like a weird version of Commander Pike from Star Trek. He's got only a couple buttons on his. All right, I see the writing on the wall. I'm not the most facile tonight. That's why we should bring up our amazing friends. Yeah, okay. What?
I'm under the weather right now, so I'm in another world. Right
Let's
now.
Put the onus on the bonus. It's showbiz talk. Okay. Let's hinge the show on our special guests.
Yeah,
let's put the onus on the bonus. It's an old showbiz term. Let's put the onus on the bonus.
Right.
Don't tell me you've never heard that phrase.
Well, I know what the onus is.
Yeah.
It's on the bonus, but yeah. they don't know who the bonus is.
Well, I tweeted what the bonus was, and he did make it. Please welcome my impish, quixotic, energetic, incredible, genius, intimidating, delightful friend, Mitch Hurwitz, to the stage. Have any seat you like. Do whatever you like. What, them? Okay, go ahead. Sit off there. It doesn't matter. Yeah. It's Mitch Hurwitz. All right. There's a mic in there.
That was the thing that your anus was on.
So, yeah.
Dan.
First of all, I can tell you, you have never seen an artist prepare the way Dan does backstage. Can I lift the veil a little
sure,
bit?
Sure, sure, sure.
So he gets here at like 4 in the afternoon, and it's calisthenics, and then newspaper after newspaper. It's unbelievable.
Just
to
looking
see
for the headline
process.
Yeah, I look for funny ads.
And then the grooming. The grooming, which I'd heard about.
You had only heard about.
Actually, he doesn't wake up. He wakes up at 6 a.m., as you know, and gets straight to work and starts writing Community by 7 at Paramount.
Right, yeah.
But at 4:30, while he's still asleep, a team of Korean women come in and groom him in his sleep.
That's why every hair is always...
And punch up.
Yep.
No, but I really admire. I make this joke as a statement of admiration because your process is so effortless. It just comes out of you. Honestly, my process is really tortured. Like, do you want to see me try to think of a joke?
Yeah. Tell me one about a caterpillar. Oh, okay.
See what I mean? It's just not.
It's
not like
much.
Your process. It's too much.
Dan, show him your process.
It doesn't podcast.
Of a joke. Hey, guy walks in a bar, rape. See, I don't. Yeah.
Mitch Hurwitz, everybody. Thanks for coming, Mitch.
So whatever comes out of my mouth.
Your band is amazing too. They're so cute.
The band is good. Speaking of work ethic, I wanted to ask you about your days at Fox working on Arrested Development, world's smartest comedy.
Would you like there to be no more Arrested Development? We could just speak candidly?
No, I wouldn't like there to be.
Because that might be the result of me speaking candidly.
No.
I think our situations were pretty similar. I do. I think I created a more of a sort of a polished social exterior than you did. But I feel like... But I didn't have to work with Chevy Chase.
Right. But you did have to work. I've heard backstage gossips and murmurs. Your family was no easy. They weren't like a. Like Community is blessed with a bunch of people. That
Except for Joel, I know it. They're amazing.
Yeah, Joel is a bit of a bitter pill to have to swallow.
And there's a girl named Gillian. Did you know that?
Yeah, she will throw a tantrum if you pronounce the G wrong. She throws hardcover books around that she only bought because she heard about them on NPR. And she got them because of the hardness of the cover because she wants to throw them at people. And Yvette is, let's just say, drinking and let's just say gambling and let's just say violence.
I got to spend a few days over there, and they really were amazing.
Yeah.
And they lionize you. Yeah. What is that? What is the word when you compare someone to a lion? Whatever that is, they do to you. And they'll be like, oh, here comes Dan. He can smell their red meat.
Absolutely positive that it's no exaggeration that you spent more time with them than I did the whole 13 episodes. Because I don't. I hope that they understand that means that what I do, that the footsteps aren't there because I was masturbating in the bushes.
Yeah. I mean, I think they know, but I don't. No, they all admire you, and I do think it's because they haven't spent much time with you. No, they really, and they're all so they're incredibly proud, as they should be, to be on such a great creative show. And the one that I got to sit in on was no exception. It's so out there. It's so creative. It's unbelievable. And I got to the set, and I really, there was like a big chasm between, like, you could tell. They thought, oh, this is like a show creator guy, a guy can give us jobs and everything. And by the end, they really started to see me more as an equal, so I got the hell out of there.
Yeah, that's good. You got the luxury.
And yeah, that was a close one.
And your bit was amazing.
I've seen it was
thing that Shrab cut together. It's really
but
funny.
No, I have to say, actually, like your cast, our cast was great. They're wonderful.
But they hated each other, some of them.
No, they just functioned truly as a family in a great way. You know, we had like a couple of leading men as brothers, and there was a lot of stuff going on there. And they loved each other. They were, and they, you know, competed. And but for me, the challenge, it was always, you know, Fox. It was always dealing with the network. It was all the same stuff you do.
But as far as what I found out this season, because and I'm an honest person, because these people, once they fire you and bring you back, not because they respect you, but because if they brought you back, it's because they don't give a shit anymore. For that reason, I have been left to my own devices, and I have truly found that I was always the problem.
Well, some of your devices. I've seen a couple of the devices.
Yeah, well, left to my own actual self-built devices, yeah.
Is really offensive.
I'm the Steve Jobs of Cronenbergian acting implements. I have a fake twin that I invented a lot of weird, curvy, alien tailbone-looking things that I claim helped you act. There's a table full of them, and they're all flecked with fluids.
No, but the amazing thing about this, Sony, about your situation at Sony, because I know they haven't been around this year, and I don't think it's because of that whalebone thing. I've always thought in television they want you to push them out of it.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, the whole system.
Because they want to be able to say.
Well, yeah, maybe that's it. They don't want to be accountable. But also, you know, they know the only hits that have ever come for them are the ones where the guy said, fuck you, I'm not doing it your way.
But that's too selfless. I don't believe that they're that selfless.
That's why they're still putting in their whole system where they've got all these checks and balances. And then it takes somebody to come along. And, you know, on The Simpsons, they don't give notes.
Right. But those are all money-making things. And they never left you alone until... you and I share. We're on the simian branch that is the low-rated great ape.
Yep. Yeah.
we had no tail, and, and
it's called the non-wealthy ape. It's the one branch of the ape that didn't become super wealthy.
But you like the last Temptation of Christ. The guy is put up on the cross. What's his name? Christ, and
he read for Michael Bluth and arrested him. It's just, but everything was so on the nose. You
yeah,
know what I mean?
It
was,
everything yeah,
so
is
overstated.
For a moment, you get to see like Christ is up there on the cross, and you get. I think that's the conceit of that movie and book and whatever is that. For a moment, you get to see. Okay, it's all fine and well to know that the guy got put up there and forgive him, God. They don't know what they're doing and all that stuff. But for a moment in that story, what you get to explore and see is okay. What if he had said? In a moment of passion, a moment of selfishness. All right, time out. Forget it. I don't want to be Jesus ever again. And you get to see that it would have sucked. That in the long run it would have been shitty. I feel like politically, season five, they said, okay, what if we did leave you alone, you preening, whining fucker? And the truth is, we all like I am my own worst enemy. Like,
well, you
I will
need
stay
something.
At that office until the script is supposedly perfect, but it ain't. Ever perfect.
Wait, Dan, you're saying that you're not getting any any trouble from the Mucky Mucks?
They're not making my life difficult at all. No.
You lose something to rebel against. I mean, that is part of it. Part of it is you want to kind of stoke the fires of that anger a little bit. We did a thing in the last season where we had a Google car, you know, that was going to be the funny vehicle because I'm all for just anything else funny you can get in there. So, and I remember once we were in a parking lot, there were all these like air conditioning trucks, and Jim Valley said to me, look, season six. Everybody's got a funny car. But so we had Jason driving the Google car, and it was just not that funny. And then we heard the Google wouldn't let us use it. We were like, yes, we have a point of view now.
Right.
You know?
I get to be mad at something.
That we're mad at it. And I think that's part of...
It's oppositional defiant disorder.
Yeah.
It's like someone's going to make me mad. We brought some integrated marketing into, as we've done to great success in the past, and they're really cool. And then they said that we never call that. And I was like, yes. Oh, and yeah. I was like, now I know what the scene's about.
Well, we are calling it a filet of fish sandwich now, my friend.
Or now the scene's about how you don't call it that. Now how you like me. and that really made me step back. I go, is that your whole shtick? Waiting around to be told what not to do,
it
and
helps.
Then you talk about how you can't do it.
Like, I mean, you know, there's always something to be outraged about, right? And I think, like, I remember we did this ninth or the tenth episode of the third season. It was the first time we'd really gone super meta. We'd done kind of things like that. But we had no point of view in the show. It was just something, nothing tied together. Like, the kid was going to a private school, and they were throwing a dinner. It was just nothing. And then I got a call saying, you're canceled. And it was like, best thing that ever happened to show 9. And that was the one that they were making all these comments about, you know, now there's going to be 3D segments and all that stuff. It feels a little trite now, actually.
We did an episode this year where I wrote it in anger in like 6 hours. Out of sarcasm, because
I know what that is.
I read something online that was somebody saying something.
We can't say what
it is. And I was like, I "Fuck this! Fuck this. You want to see this shit? Fuck it! Fuck it!"
I know.
And it's really one of the better episodes of the season.
Yeah.
It's me going, "Yeah, everyone want to go home by 6? Fine, you're going home by 6. See how good the show is." And it's fine. Fine episode. A story, B story, I get it.
Doesn't matter.
Couple jokes per page.
Dan or Mitch, I'll start with Dan. Like, what's been the recipe, like, climate-wise, for the worst episode of this season? Like,
Definitely without a doubt.
I hope it wasn't putting me in it. I bet it was.
Definitely without a doubt, it's knowing in advance that you want to do X. Now, you know, in the past, that some of the episodes are... That can generate your best episode, knowing that you want to do, it's gonna be a blank episode. But it without a doubt, when you are up at 4 a.m. on a Sunday, when the call time is 7 a.m. Monday, and you're writing the scene and no one knows what the fuck is going on, the reason for the trouble starts with someone saying, we have to do a Dungeons & Dragons sequel. We have to do a zombie Halloween. We have to do... Christmas is going to be this. Because it's not organic, and it's... And so.
Yeah, well, it's kind of like knowing what your theme is ahead of time. And you'll see people. You'll see... You think Ryan Murphy listens to this show?
and he's like, oh, these are some good pointers. I'm going to use that one for American Horror Story. I just picture him as having an Irish accent. Ryan Murphy.
Yeah.
I like to make the nice TV shows for the nice people.
Oh, I just, my experience, though, he seems like a very nice guy.
Green clovers, yellow stars.
Little purple glees.
Purple glees.
I don't want to talk about him.
He shoots at a stage.
But I would, I remember he would say things when he was doing Nip Tuck and talk about how, you know, I wanted to do a show about superficiality and about how people are only as deep as their skin. And I thought, no, you didn't. I mean, you came up with that at some point. But it is, whenever you start off, it's always a lie what you're starting with. I mean, it's what I was just praising you about this show. Like, I see you figure out your point as you're making it.
Oh, definitely.
Right?
Yeah.
Which I really admire, because otherwise you're kind of full of shit. You're going in with an idea of what you want to say already. And I don't know. I remember pitching Arrested and saying the concept was going to be, it's about a family that loses everything and is much happier because of it. And right, and none of that happened. They didn't really lose that much. They weren't happy.
They just sat around and stayed quasi-rich but very witty.
Yeah, right.
The funniest family in the world, but...
Yeah. They're really funny.
Did material possession ever?
Yeah. And it really was the idea of, like, you know, I said, oh, you know, the husband and wife that haven't been sharing a bedroom, they're now going to have to share a bedroom. And it was all these sort of family values. And then the first, like, three episodes, that got thrown in my face a lot. Aren't they supposed to learn that it's better? Oh, yeah, no, I'm building to it. They're going to learn it's better. They're going to learn it's much better.
We had a
to be poor.
Our post supervisor, didn't you work with Jake Ost?
On a one show. Not like, on a rest.
Doing the last couple episodes of season three, there was a point, because it was like, well, how did season three end? Chang was dressed as Napoleon, and there was a dragon in the sky, and Abed's head was the sun. I don't know.
The community college experience.
I'm sound mixing it with Jake, and I was like, Jake, could you think, is there a way we can go to some kind of Japanese anime library and find some kind of something that sounds like a light sword, but also can we mix it? Because it needs to be funny, too. It needs to be an ironic take, like an ersatz light sword. It sounds Japanese, but it needs to be like the Americanized version because it's in Jeff's imagination and something like that. And Jake Oss said, I signed on to a show about people going to a community college. He was being ironic, of course. He's a good sport, but
yeah.
I was curious, like how when you're surfing the wave
have this?
Whatever you want. There's water. There's
the home audience. You have no idea the array that's out here right now. Beverage array.
I'm in the Kettle One Alliance now. I don't know if you
got in.
I don't know if I'll...
Now it's you guys against what, like Captain Bacardi or whatever.
Well, that's Ryan Murphy. He's Jameson's.
You better not take me, Jameson's.
I hear the alliance is in a bitter struggle right now.
Against Ryan Murphy's Bacardi alliance?
Yeah.
Or Jameson?
Yeah.
Whatever.
Empire. Harman. His Bacardi empire.
Yeah. There's all of the five major liquors are like the boroughs in...
And Pod is working its way in, too, which is going to throw off the alliance.
Yeah.
Like you can't believe. It's going to be like... Those Japan.
Yeah.
And what was that?
Well, that's Netflix,
probably
right?
The Second World War? I don't know the wars in order. What was two? I saw the first one.
But I want to know how when you were running a network show,
I appreciate you even trying to ask because you already know the answer. You're trying to think of a way that we can get some information out to them. But it's the exact same experience.
No, I don't know. I don't know. Like I want to know how dire it got in terms of like the distance between what was in your brain and what they were shooting on set. I just want to know chronologically like how bad it got. Because there's stories about David Milch literally... This is drama and this is David Milch, totally different thing, but there's stories about there's a dude in his parking space waiting.
Wow.
He pulls up into the parking space and like David Milch rolls out of the car onto his back
and starts
saying things into the air and the 20-year-old collects it in a jar and throws it at the set. And then they shoot that as it explodes out of the jar. Like.
No, it was not. It wasn't like that at all. It was really. I mean, it got.
Was that Deadwood? What was that?
It was NYPD Blue.
Okay. Do you remember that documentary? You saw him on his back? Yeah, there was a shot of him on his back. Just
no, but somebody had a bad back, but he actually would be laying on his back on set, calling out lines to the actors, and they'd shoot him. That's what I heard.
They shoot the actors. Oh, I see.
No, that's not an
option. Let's try it. Maybe it's great for creativity. Shall we get down there? And it wasn't like that at all. In fact, I always had this illusion of myself as being reasonable. And then it got I was accused once of it being rope-a-dope is what it was called.
Because
basically.
You said you were a nice guy.
Well, I mean, I would try to, like, I made it an effort not to be defensive. Like, which is very hard to do when you're hearing notes. Because you just want everything out of your mouth. If you've created anything, you want to say, no, you don't get it. That's not, I don't want to do it your way. But if you can, I believe in, like, trying not to be defensive and trying to let in what people are saying. But then I wouldn't always act on it. You know, I mean, I would try to take in, like, okay, so what they're saying is they don't see that this character cares for his son. And that's a drag. I want to up that, but I also don't want to sell it out and, you know, all those things. But I worked so hard on addressing their notes that In a funny way, I don't think they even saw that I was doing it, because I would, you know, I could change this sentence a little bit and I could put this scene earlier, but they didn't want that. They wanted
You're not
going to
believe me, but I'm exactly the same way. Because I came up doing improv, so I would go, there's no difference between someone in a suit saying, could you put a dog in it? Or could Annie's character, I'm not tracking Annie's character in this scene. There's no difference between that and bringing up someone from the audience and having them do the sound effects. It can be invigorating.
Right, and there's a whole creativity that comes out of like, okay, you've got this house, it's built, this is the foundation, but let's see, if I move the stairs, all I'd have to do is kind of bolster the stairs, it would still get to the second. And what they're thinking is, no, we thought you were going to bulldoze it.
Right, and so sometimes they go like, well, I don't understand, you're not following my notes. I was like, well, no, I'm following the note behind your note. Yeah. I mean, you were saying that you wanted a flower on the guy's head, but what you meant was there wasn't a prettiness to the scene.
Yeah.
And so I did that by the guy punching the dog.
Right. Yeah. Punching the ugly dog.
Because the ugly
getting
dog.
Getting rid of one ugly animal.
He punished the ugly dog by punching
Add
it.
An ugly animal, remove it.
I don't know. I felt like I would try, like a relatively large volume of notes that are given to me.
No,
do get
I was
addressed.
Always very surprised that they did not see that I was doing that. And then I would get really specific notes. There was at one point where somebody said to me, "Why are you doing this joke three times?" and I really was like, "Oh God,
am I doing that trite?
Oh, like, God. Should it be five times?
Oh, no.
Why is one a setup and one why is a thing and why is one a punchline?"
I remember the joke. It was Job talking about. It was just this little flight of fancy where someone said, Job said, "Did you see the new Poof?" Which was what the Magic magazine was called in a restaurant. And then Job kind of misinterpreted and said, "Well, Gary, the new PA, is he gay? Oh, God, I did something that could be taken the wrong way." And then we see really, I think we see four things that he did that could be taken the wrong way. And the last of them, which is the one that this executive pointed out, was him with Gary on his lap on a chair, rocking back and forth, saying, "Well, it's not doing it now." And both of them just looking and trying to feel what the chair is doing. Why are you doing that so many times? Why can't you just do it once?
Yeah,
it really was a fundamental understanding shift for me when I realized, oh, you think I'm being an artist or being something that's going to cost you money. I'm trying to make this popular.
Right.
But that was the fundamental misunderstanding.
This is my version of mainstream comedy. There is no such thing. I hope there isn't. I would think that there would be a person whose stuff you had never seen because they wouldn't get off the starting block. There's no such thing as a TV comedy writer. Listen to those words. TV.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Comedy.
Exactly.
Before you get to the word writer, you have long since made the decision to sell out. You want people to like you. It's like saying magician, masseuse.
Yeah. Recluse magician. Reclusive magician. What?
Like, you're not going to be one of those artsy-fartsy magician masseuses, are you?
Yeah, we're nothing.
The guy who says, who needs someone to know that the corner disappeared and then rubs your shoulders? No, I'd want people to be happy.
Well, why does it have to be a French franc that disappears? Why can't it be a half dollar? An American half dollar?
I know you don't want to dumb it down. they preemptively make you feel like a snob. But it's like, no, I am trying as hard as I can. That's the sad fact. I'm trying as hard as I can.
Well, you and I both made, I don't even know if it was a decision, but it was based on our personalities. Let's do a show that we would like. I mean, there are people
I learned
in
it from
any
you.
Field.
I don't know what your excuse is. I swear to God. I learned from watching Arrested Development. It was the moment when the Bluths, for the third time in the show,
lost their money,
made fun of someone for being cowardly and revealed that the family as a whole does not know what chickens sound like. And everyone's going, "Cool, caro, caro, caro." And Jason Bateman's going, "Has anyone in this family heard a chicken?"
Yeah.
And I was like, holy shit. And it wasn't like, holy shit, comedy can be so layered and all this stuff. What it was holy shit, I'm supposed to be making myself laugh. I'm supposed to be...
Wow.
Like, there is no... There's no difference between the job of being funny for other people and being funny for yourself. It is the same thing.
It is the crazy thing about...
Applause in this crowd that will get you.
I love somebody who can applaud themselves.
I denounced racism yesterday. Crickets. These people are...
Oh, that's very
nice.
These
people hate minorities. They love comedy.
There are a lot of people...
And they were here yesterday. I don't know. Sorry.
I love the Saturday practice shows. This thing is so nailed down. Am I up? Was that your line? Rigorously rehearsed.
Rigorously rehearsed.
Mitch.
Oh.
Yeah. Don't ad lib. We open in two nights, you guys. Jesus. I want to see you guys here at 7 a.m. and dress for movement.
But that is...
Are the Cirque guys coming, or is it still us just marking them off with tape?
They'll be here.
Because they're going to throw us when they start doing their gymnastics.
But there is a good a question a good interviewer would ask you in there, which is, where did you learn it from? Because you're a couple years older than me.
No, listen, it's very nice that you say that you learned it from me, but we're all...
No,
like,
I'm not kidding. I'm telling you, in terms of when sitting down to write a TV comedy script, I absolutely learned it from you. I also learned, I picked up, I like Tina Fey doing 30 Rock, like I definitely was like, holy shit, this is a pace that you can have. But I would argue, I don't know if she'd disagree, that she got that from you. I don't know. I
think she'd disagree.
But I think that you changed things
Ryan. I don't know if you watch Nip Tuck. I got a lot of it. I will say, I think... I remember being a kid, this will date me a little bit, and watching Get Smart and thinking, as like a little kid, how come all the shows sound the same, but there's one where it doesn't sound the same? Basically what I was getting at is like, it's a guy's sense of humor.
Right.
Whatever you think of that sense of humor, it was clear that that was like Buck Henry and Mel Brooks. And for me, I think I remember seeing like Larry Sanders' show. That was a revelation. I remember seeing episodes where it would just end and you'd have to do a little thinking yourself. You have to say, oh, he's in hell. He's in hell. You know, they didn't explain it. He didn't apologize. That was amazing to me. And I also came up with a lot of writers that would say things like, well, we could do the old... That was said a lot in a lot of rooms I was in. And I remember at that point thinking, like, I don't want to ever do the old.
Yeah.
But unfortunately...
I often want to do the old. I scramble for it. I go, this could be like the old thing, because I don't know what I'm doing. And like,
because you're inventing it every time. That's what I try to do. Try to invent it every time, and that's the only way you're going to laugh.
But then it's just a bunch of people with their heads up their asses. I don't know. I don't know which version of me is more marketable. Is it the version that is trying to be like other people, or is it the version that
nobody's that independent. I mean, I probably could go through an episode of Arrested Development and say, oh, that's an Albert Brooks thing, that's a Woody Allen thing, that's a John Cleese thing. It all gets filtered through somehow. But for the most part, if you're trying to make yourself laugh, you know, we happen to have chosen a field that neither of us are really right for, because television is all about repetition. That's what it does best. Maybe up until the current era.
Amen. Now let's make an edit here, and for the podcast listeners, there's this brief silence, and then some clicking sounds, and then two gunshots.
Right. Can we get a gasp? But it's got to be clean, no laughter. Just everyone going. That'll be amazing.
And then a 3 second silence, and then slow applause.
but preceded by, I think I know how to help them. I'll cast a bet of me Ryan Murphy
it's
witchcraft.
Ryan Murphy. Ryan Murphy.
You just need some voodoo magic from the bayou.
Irish bayou?
Irish voodoo?
I think, am I talking about the same guy? Is he, Yeah, the Glee guy is also the voodoo witch guy, right?
The voodoo witch guy. He was raised in the bayou, and then he went to Ireland. And then he decided to comment on superficiality in America. That's why that's so rich.
Das war eine coole Folge. Und wie cool wäre es, 15.000 Euro zu gewinnen? Werd bis zum 29. September Kunde von Open Bank, der 100% digitalen Bank der Santander Group. Und sei der große Gewinner. Die Travel Plus Reisevorteile gibt 6 Monate lang gratis dazu. Bezahl damit unter anderem gebührenfrei in Fremdwährungen und hör deinen Lieblingspodcast von überall auf der Welt. Klingt verlockend? Geh auf openbank.de und melde dich mit dem Promocode OPEN15K an.
Speaking of diversity, let's bring out Kumail Nanjiani!
That is the single greatest intro I've ever gotten. Speaking of diversity.
No, you're supposed to do the speaking of diversity now.
Yeah.
Would you mind speaking about diversity?
I think it's good, guys. I am on board.
For one thing, it's my sole recourse to an intro.
Yeah. Can I say something that happened backstage? Is that okay, Mitch?
Sure.
We were hanging out back there, and Mitch came in. Mitch Hurwitz, creator of Arrested Development. And he came up to me.
I got two intros, and you got barely one.
I didn't get any intros. Yeah. But he came in and he shook my hand and he was like, oh, hey, we met a couple months ago. And I was like, you will never have to remind me of when I met you.
Because you're Indian? I don't know.
We never forget. I'm Pakistani, but that's fine. Are you Pakistani? Yeah, if you squint, I look Indian.
I hate Indians.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
Mitch, thanks for coming. This has been great.
Yeah, I'm the opposite of Indian.
Yeah. Assholes.
The opposite of Indian.
That's your drama.
Yeah, we're the opposite of Indians and the opposite of Jews, I guess. Not fond of them either.
A lot of you go into cardiology.
My people?
Don't they?
Oh, yeah. Well, doctor, yeah. We're mostly doctors, yeah.
Is that why you feel comforted by your voice, maybe?
I don't know.
I wonder if you'd feel comfortable.
I wonder if I've ever had a doctor that was telling me my heart would be okay and he had...
Yeah, my dad's a doctor. I think my mom's waiting for me to play a doctor in a show so she can commit suicide while she's watching it.
She wouldn't like that.
No, I think she would be like, oh, if
that's
I...
Now you're mocking thing. Your father.
No, that's
and...
a happy thing there.
No, it's a happy thing.
Oh, commit suicide. Suicide's yeah. A good thing. Oh.
It's the most honorable death possible.
Right.
No,
oh,
that's
boy.
Not true.
Here he goes again. Oh, boy.
We have to set ourselves on fire to get into heaven. Kumail.
Save it for your blog.
Did I read correctly that you were voted sexiest man of the year by Salon Magazine?
Yeah, it wasn't a vote. It was some person decided. Jason Salon decided. I don't know. Yeah, it was weird.
It's very cool.
It's obviously, and not to say anything about it, a Salon, they have a lot of white guilt in there. And I think this was their way of like, hey, this should make you guys feel better.
I mean, you're a very attractive man.
Thank you. I can see
the guilt in that.
What I also like is that the description of the article was like, we didn't go after guys who hang out in the gym or anything. Like... Why did you have to put that in there?
We use the term sexy a little looser around so long.
Yeah. One of them is just a really great orange I ate yesterday.
Most of the other ones is 10, and you're the only human here.
I'm the only human.
All right, check out this park bench. Ergonomics are the new pecs.
Yeah.
Number three. Futurama episode.
Number three, calcium.
Yeah. Salon.com is number 6 on their own list of sexiest men.
Come on, that's silly. You're very sexy.
Thank you, guys.
Come on. Come on.
Do something really sexy.
Take your shirt off. Take your fucking shirt off.
Take your shirt off.
Come on, hot shot.
You're a public figure.
Oh,
it's not harassment.
I'm being bullied by Mitch Hurwitz.
It's not bullying if you're voted sexy. You're a public figure now.
Anyway, quick at it. We're going to go back to the music. Cheer like you took a shirt off. Okay, wait, we'll let the music go for a second.
And now,
Jesus Christ!
Holy cow! And
look at those tits!
If we could do a gunshot and a gasp again.
Right. Oh my God, his pecs look so good. Mitch, you thinking what I'm thinking? Gasp.
Oh my God.
A gasp take. That's great.
This show's going to take a couple days to come out.
Yeah.
This one will not drop tomorrow.
No, you got to go up to like Skywalker Ranch. Yeah. Get the real.
We have to go back and add the sound effects of me and Mitch sucking each other's dicks for the last half hour.
You don't need to add sound effects.
The tape was rolling backstage, you guys.
Sexily said.
I actually didn't answer my parents' phone calls for 3 days because of that article.
Really?
Yeah. I really didn't.
Because
I haven't talked to them.
Because your phone is ringing off the hook, or because you didn't.
No, nobody. They're calling. They want to talk about it, and I don't want to talk to them about it.
And they're thinking, "Oh, now he's Mr. Sexy. Doesn't pick up my phone calls anymore."
Do you
now
think
he'll never go to medical school?
I wish he was Dr. Sexy. Yeah.
What do you think your mom's take on that would be?
Well, I'll tell you what was weird is that in the article they wrote that I had a fundamentalist upbringing, which is a very specific word, and it is not what I had. I had a conservative Shiite Muslim upbringing, and it took a lot to get them to take that word out. And my brother texted me like, "What the fuck? Did you have a different upbringing than me?" And I was like, yeah, they made me do like push-ups and pull-ups in the back. I was doing the monkey bars.
Oh, yeah.
They're always doing that when they show like those terrorist training.
That's how you get sexy.
Just doing monkey bars.
Yeah, you must be amazing at the monkey bars now.
I can jump into tires really well.
Yeah. It's great. It's tough to get a bunch of guys together on a Saturday and just go use the monkey bars. It's tough to get in a league.
My favorite thing in war movies was when a bunch of guys stood in a line with bayonets and they had to go stab a sack.
Yeah.
Now you're ready. Let's go invade sack land.
You land in Vietnam and you're like, but there are no playgrounds here. We're not prepared. There are no evenly spaced.
Everyone here has arms and legs and is shooting at me.
Yeah. Why did we spend months going down that slide?
Yeah. I could use a seesaw as a death weapon, but we have none here.
Do you ever have to really go under all the barbed wire with a drill sergeant kicking your butt down?
Have they now figured out to put barbed wire all the way to the bottom? 60 years
later. Yeah, we got to do this. We got to put it on the ground. Guys, just lay it down. Go, stop putting it up on stands.
It's easier.
and make this wall. Get these ropes out of here.
Well, that's how they're getting over.
For God's sakes, this is Normandy, not an open house.
Who said they wouldn't be able to climb the ropes? Who said that?
That's all we've been practicing for years.
Who said the ropes would scare them?
Like they're using
snakes.
The ropes.
They're climbing the
they
ropes.
They don't think they're snakes.
You put knots in them.
They'll never get here. We have a bridge made of tires protecting us.
No, look at their wide stance while they run.
Yeah, they'll waddle over. Well, because it's like, how do you train someone to become a killing machine? You can't, so you're like, distract them with tires and ropes.
Okay, Foursquare, guys, let's go.
Yeah, exactly.
They do always say, if you watch a war documentary, that's the first thing that they always say. All the GIs will say, the veterans that they interview, they're like, well, we got there. And we
it was nothing.
We
like.
Had not prepared for this. No shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like definitely not. Yeah. No one has ever invaded a military training ground in Minnesota. Like that has never.
Yeah, there was one wall, but we all wanted to hide behind it. Nobody wanted to go over.
All the people could move. None of them were stationary sack people.
But now the training is very much like the actual war, right? Because you're just like it's like Ender's Game now.
I bet it is. Like Call of Duty.
I'm looking at you guys as people who might read the news.
Yeah. Now. I did hear that Amazon is going to use drones to deliver their fucking. Isn't that crazy?
Not really.
I heard the end of an Amazon story. Is that what it was? They're going
to
use drones.
They're going to use drones to send out the same. to deliver, like, just, you know,
a copy of Eat, Pray, Love or 30,000 feet.
Wait, yeah, nip your Nip Tuck box precision.
Will there be a
Google Chromecast?
A little parachute
module
comes down and lands in my mailbox. Like, how does it?
I think they haven't worked out all the details yet.
No,
I don't know how it's gonna.
I mean, there's gonna be collateral damage.
They are tied to bombs, yeah. And I don't mean,
but that switch is set to off.
Not that that was a bomb.
That all failed.
If they're delivering your groceries like that, the bomb switch is off.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope they don't get confused. And then we're getting bombs and someone in Pakistan has the Nip Tuck box set.
Yeah. What the hell?
This is actually a good wedding present. Thank you.
Yes.
Holy
this is Sony Aibo dog just took out our DirecTV.
What's
yeah,
eggnog?
We got an Apple TV. We have nothing to plug it into.
I told you, Dan, that I did a couple USO tours like with Drew Carey. We did like improv for troops around like before the Iraq invasion, but after Afghanistan. And they took us into like in the middle of a desert. It was the war room. It was this big yellow building in the middle of nowhere in the desert. This big yellow metal building. And in that building was more bandwidth going into it at that time, they said, than the Kremlin and like maybe the Pentagon. Wow. I can't believe it's true, but the whole war was being run from there. And there was a war games. Like, you went up to the top floor, and there was these giant tilted, tinted windows looking down on a sea of computers and people in front of these computers. And on these walls, these giant movie screens of one is a satellite map, one is that can change to different arenas or areas, another, a giant map of the whole region, and digital blips of everything. Like the blue is medical units. The orange is infantry units. The red is this.
And then just Chuck and Buck. On one of them. For some reason, they were just watching Chuck and Buck. Not just something what came out of it.
Not far off. You're actually not far off. It was CNN on the other one.
Really?
Yeah, which is not much different. But we were up there, and we walked up there, and they turned off a couple computer screens. They left a couple on, and one was a picture of a black and white aerial satellite photo. And I asked like a colonel or something. I said, "What's this?" He goes, "Oh, this photo was taken 5 minutes ago." He goes, "We can do it in color. We can do it however." I go, "We can also have it like right now, but we don't really need to."
They had Instagram before we did.
Oh yeah.
Oh, that's what
we could do this in Sierra X Pro 2. Hey, look,
Nashville, but you have a little thing with
Nashville.
It was just the Taliban, like pictures of stuff they were eating.
It was a picture. There was a picture of a guy. There was a picture of a guy.
It said like BFF, and then there was a heart.
Wish you were here.
And then there's a picture of someone's they zoomed in really close, and it was a picture of an espresso with a heart in it with the thumb.
Wow. So they really.
But I asked the guy. I said he zooms in on a guy, and you can see a guy. Who is that? He goes, "That's just a farmer."
He's probably zoom in on guys.
Yeah. What's the resolution you have here? He goes, "If we load it in, I could." If he was
the resolution is to fuck humanity.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
Fuck that guy for farming. That's the resolution.
Our resolution is to win 1,000 times over.
He said,
"See that guy with the pile of rocks."
We don't just make it New Year's Eve.
I said, "Could you see if the guy's shoes were tied or untied?" He goes, "If you were holding a penny or like a dime, I could tell you what year it was."
But the good news is he has no money and shoes that don't lace.
Exactly.
So it's just don't worry about it.
That's what I like about you, Mitch.
We're going to
bright side.
You're a bright side guy. We have a lot of wasted resolution.
So then
they have no money.
That's how they've chosen to evade us, by living in caves and not having a dime in their hand.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So there's a Radio Shack flight simulator joystick there, and he goes, "Watch this." He zooms back, and then you see some details of a farm and then a thing, and you see borders of countries.
Wow.
Then you see the region, then you see the planet Earth, and it's upside down because they were doing it for that, right? Then he hits a button.
Then it pulls back, and it's Oprah holding it in her hands.
I was going to say just one masculine claw.
Oh, too far.
And then
they go back,
oh,
back,
oh
back,
yeah, they turn
back.
The monitor off.
Oh, shit.
Redacted.
And I said to him, I said, "And you guys can't find Osama bin Laden?" And he kind of gave me
"If we find Osama, this is all over."
Yeah, exactly. But he gave me a look like, we find what they ask us to look for, man. And then we went on a plane. That's the one they.
No one had thought to say, "Hey, look for Osama."
No. Hey, look. He said, he said, "We have more bandwidth coming into this building than any building ever." And he said, I said, what does that mean exactly to, explain that to me? And he goes, "If it exists as information, I can get it right now."
I'm gay.
Dan, I'm trying to tell a story. We'll table your homosexuality for a moment, Dan.
I don't know what that test was. I was like, the story's taking place in the past. But then
we go on this plane with it. There's a bunch of people. There's all these antennae like off the bottom of it, and they fly around. And I forget the name of the plane. And there's all these people, and they're linguists, and they listen. And I walked on the plane, and they all turned off their screens. Like, that's like some
top secret shit.
Yeah. And I was talking to a guy that works on that plane. I go, so what are you guys listening for? He goes, they ask us to listen for certain communications. We find Taliban people. We find this. We find that. We find targets. We radio that in to the bombers or the fighters. They go in there, and they get those targets. I go, how do you know that those targets are still there when the bombers get there? And he goes, that's not our department.
That's crazy.
And so I said, well, what can you hear? And he goes, I can't tell you everything that we can hear, because that's top secret. But I will say that this enemy in particular has no idea what we can hear. And he goes, for instance.
He probably thought, well, I can really tell you, because it's not like you're ever going to tell a Pakistani.
With all that change in your pockets and those shoelaces.
That you would tell this whole story to a Shia Muslim. Yeah.
He goes, I will say this, we can listen to you, like if you're at home and your phones are hung up, like your cell phone or your landlines are hung up, we can listen to you through those.
Come on.
He told you. And he goes, I said, and that's what you can tell me?
That is.
And he goes, they know that kind of, but we're catching them on their cell phones all the time. I go, so tell me what you can tell me. He goes, if it travels over a wave, we can hear it. And I go, aren't our voices traveling over waves right now? And he gave me the same smile the other guy did.
The response said, what?
Yeah. Is this one of those?
I said, go get this fucking guy. It's like, not my department. We're they tell us where to go, what to listen to, what to do.
Is this one of those situations where then the real guy comes in and is like, get to work, and that guy's the janitor? Like, I'm sorry. Are you doing it again? Is this your diamond shoelaces
it's
thing?
It's Drew Carey. It's Drew Carey.
No, but this, by your admission, this was before Iraq. May I hazard a guess as to why they couldn't find Osama bin Laden? This is going to get really political, guys. I hope you're okay with this.
No one listens this far into the podcast.
Right? I mean, we had to go. He might be in Iraq. Can't find him.
You think why? That's why? I think he was somewhere else, and he wasn't high priority. I really do believe with the intelligence.
You mean he was in Iraq in the tent next to where Jeff was?
Drew Carey.
I actually just watched that Oliver Stone documentary, which is amazing. If anybody hasn't seen it, The Untold History of the United States. I can't tell you what it is. It's untold.
It's just a black screen for an hour and a half.
Yeah. But your imagination goes wild.
But isn't Oliver Stone like the worst historian of all time?
I do believe he put a little too much on Jim Garrison's back in JFK.
But he really did.
It's a very valuable.
But he was very right about Platoon, because people only spoke in cliches.
That's why we lost.
Yes.
We were at war with our own language.
We were too busy. We were too busy writing grandma about grunts and calling people cheese dick. Platoon.
And back then that was an insult.
Yeah.
So how is it that if they have that, why are they still like drone bombing weddings and stuff in Afghanistan and Pakistan?
That was supposed to be rice.
Yeah, this is the worst.
That
rice
was from
I've
Amazon.
Ever had.
That was an Amazon drone. I know what you're talking about. I put that on my wish list. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm like Robin Williams now. Wish list Amazon. Hashtag. And I'm just casting a fucking
hashtags and bacon.
Whoa, that was pretty good. That was a pretty good Robin Williams.
Hey, Mitch Hurwitz is Robin Williams. What should I do tomorrow?
So you do? Everybody wonder why Barbara Bush? I don't know.
Take the day.
That's really good. That's really good.
Before you said a single word, that was like the most amazing impression.
Well, I got a little Irish, and then I had to abort.
Outside of Goldthwait's impression of Robin Williams, which is impeccable. And
well, they're like, they hang out every day for the last 20 years.
Can't tell the, like, yeah. Oh. It's...
Yeah. Are you friends with Bobcat?
He has done Jeff's job here before when Jeff's been away. He's comfortable. Really?
We actually had Bob and Robin on the same show here.
Yeah, he brought Robin by unexpectedly one night.
He's so funny.
I
remember him telling me years ago. I haven't seen him in 100 years, but he had just done, what was the clown movie?
Are we
movie?
Talking about Bob or Bobcat. Robin?
Patch yeah, Adams. Bob
Goldthwait. Shakes the Clown, and he had LaWanda Page.
Someone
in
said,
it.
"Oh, you guys thought it was Robin Williams." Okay, not Patch Adams.
Yeah. They both did clown movies.
Yeah, they did. Yeah,
well,
yeah.
Very different tones.
And LaWanda Page, he said, just she had a line that was like, "What are you doing here?" And she came up with, "I got that peanut butter pussy, is smooth and brown and easy to spread." And Bobcat said, "Okay, we have one that way." I just always
think of my one Bobcat.
He is amazing, and another hero of mine in terms of like realizing that was back in Milwaukee. Bob, I've told him when he came here, like Schraub and I, when we were in Milwaukee, as just virtual children by today's standards, watching Bob do stand up and watching him kind of just untethered.
Yeah.
And
kind of not, you know, like he's on the audience's side, but he also kind of doesn't even pander to his own little audience.
On the audience's side, but absolutely not accountable to them at all. On their side because he expects better of them.
Yeah.
And to the extent that they disappointed him, he let them know.
Yeah.
And it was really gratifying and liberating to watch the realization that performance didn't always mean pandering. You have equal amounts of epiphanies about how it actually is pandering. What the fuck are you even doing this for if you're going to be a jaded piece of shit? So lots of epiphanies in that area, but there are a lot of people who set you free too along the way and send you the message of holy shit, you need to do this for yourself because no one wants to watch you.
I worked with Chris Guest on something which, you know, another like such an important guy in comedy and such a, like Bobcat and he maintains that he does not care if his audience likes the show or likes his movie.
Christopher Guest.
And I would say to him, do you care if your wife likes it? Yeah. Do you care if Michael McKean likes it?
Right.
Yes. Well, you're getting into an audience.
Right.
You're getting into
we got an audience situation brewing.
Yeah, because it is. It's a communication. There's no doubt about it. You're doing it for other people. But
that's the weirdest. That's the inception top spinning of why would I draw on that as a metaphor? But it spins between the poles of they are the most important people in the world. I'm pointing at the audience like there's some kind of horde of plebeians. You do everything you do for them. If you enter the vocation that has anything to do with making them happy, then you owe it to yourself and owe it to them to wake up every morning and go, I would kill myself if they disappeared. I would be like, I would have no Winslow on my outcast island. I do everything I do for other people. I am a psychotic. I live to entertain. But because I live to entertain, I also owe it to them, whether they like it or not, to be myself and speak my mind, because that's what they actually are entertained by. Because believe it or not, they're human beings that have their own thing going on. And when they do volunteer, as we sometimes do, to sit in a chair and watch somebody else, they don't want to watch somebody who spent the day figuring out how to make them laugh.
Well,
they
want to
watch somebody who's making themselves
laugh. I think audiences, and you know, we're audiences too, but I think people are highly attuned to being manipulated. You know, and there's a certain amount that they're willing to play along. I think it's why kind of self-referential stuff got really popular for a while, because suddenly everybody was doing things like product placement and things like that. You had to call yourself on it. But even that's a trick.
You felt there's always you're flipping the pancake. You have to, if you leave it one side down for too long, it starts to sizzle and burn. Are we any more subversive than Jack Benny? No, we're not. Absolutely not. In many ways, he was being more subversive than us, because at least he had the balls to stop in the middle of his comedy routine and say, by the way, this is brought to you by a fucking mop. We don't actually gain any distance. We change, we rotate, we flip, and we flop, and we flip, and we flop. what was my point?
Jack Benny in particular was so subversive in a way, because he called himself on everything. That whole show was artifice. That whole show, you know, as soon as something would embarrass him, he'd kind of step away and he'd say, like, well, this is just a show. I mean, it really, yeah. He deconstructed everything.
It's
right
hilarious,
off.
Yeah. Like on satellite radio, on the classic channel, classic radio stuff, when Jack Benny's on, it's the greatest listening in the world. It's absolutely
all those guys, you know, it'll happen to us too. There'll be, in three generations, they'll say, oh, that's right, old stuff. And then hopefully they'll listen
you
to
it. You bet your
see,
ass.
Yeah, if we're lucky.
You bet your ass they'll be talking about me in 30 years. That's what I heard. That's what I heard Mitch Hurwitz say.
That was the guy.
They'll be talking about me in 30 years.
Oh, I said that wrong. Sorry, guys.
The guy that actually got hung for hate crimes.
That guy.
you brought the gallows.
Do you know
back.
He was a showrunner before all his crimes?
Well, no, I heard.
What's he created
show?
The show.
He was a poet. What's a show?
I can't remember what it was called.
What's a show?
All right, I don't want anybody up here to leave. Nobody's leaving, even though it's going to get physically awkward and crowded. Because I need to bring, first of all, Spencer Crittenden to the side stage. Our dungeon master.
What's up?
Mitch, you have to stay and play Dungeons & Dragons with us.
Oh, okay.
That's your punishment.
What?
It's a little game. You'll catch on.
Okay.
It's
super simple game.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
You don't have a character for Mitch, do you?
No, and I mean, we're in like the final boss fight, like right in the middle of it.
That's okay. Don't worry about it. I'll just jump in.
Yeah.
I'll figure it out. Yeah. Don't worry about it. I won't make a mockery of it. No, just go. Figure it out.
If you made a mockery of it, that'd probably be the best way this could go.
If I made him what?
No, if he made a mockery of it.
No,
not
I
you.
Won't. I mean, won't. I'll figure it out. Yeah. I may say things like, "Oh, I've got the golden amulet. I win."
Yeah. No, that's what I'm saying. That's what's going to work. That's what's going to play well here.
I'm not going to say much.
I think regular Harmontown listeners will know how seriously we take this this D&D.
I have an idea. Mitch should play my Hawk Avenger.
Yeah, I was thinking, yeah, okay.
Right.
By the way, can I say something?
My character is a hawk. But,
okay. Someone just tweeted this at me.
You'd be
me.
So good at it.
Yeah.
They tweeted it at us. They said the D&D group has had a lyre of building this whole time. They said in episode 50 they found a lyre of building in the treasure after killing the dragon, and it can basically build mines, tunnels, ditches. The effect produced in 30 minutes of playing is equal to the work of 100 humans.
Like 100 human hours.
Yeah, laboring for 3 days.
I got it. Okay, let's do it. Let's try it. Let's give it a shot.
See, he's got it.
Mitch has got it. Yeah.
What were you worried about, Spencer?
I'm telling you. That's good.
I mean, can we also bring Aaron McGathy?
Aaron McGathy.
It's my girlfriend, Mitch. No, Aaron, you want to sit over here? I'm going to stand up. Oh. Okay.
Jack, everybody.
All right.
Okay, yeah, let's get
this. I'm sorry, guys. What a tremendous support crew we have. I almost called them a staff, but we don't pay them.
May I very briefly do something very selfish?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mitch, my little brother is your biggest fan in the whole world.
No way.
He is. Could you say hello to Michael McGathy real
Michael,
fast?
Michael, what's the...
McGathy.
McGathy, well...
Yeah, I've been live tweet texting.
How old is he?
He is... 3 years younger than I am.
Oh, well, now you can't
he's
say.
He's 26.
So he's 47.
He's 26. He's 46.
Well, hi, Michael. Thanks for listening to Dan's show. You didn't know I was going to be on it, but thanks anyway.
Thank you.
You seem like a great little guy.
I feel like since we have Robin Williams here, he should say hello to him,
oh,
too.
Oh, hello, Michael.
Oh. What's the crazy ones? Oh, the crazy ones.
Can you do me a favor, too? Can you tell Shabana Nanjiani it's okay, I'm not a doctor?
But do it as Sean Connery.
Yeah, do it as Robin Williams again, because they know who Robin Williams is.
I'm going to do it. I'll do it as Dan Harmon.
Okay.
I don't know if you've heard my Dan Harmon impression.
No,
I
it's
can't
pretty
wait.
Good.
Hey, Shabana. It's good that your son's not a doctor.
Wow.
Thanks. Thank you.
Wow.
Thank you.
That was really close.
Yeah. I also do, Michael, I also do your sister Erin. Let me see if I can.
Ooh. Wow.
That wasn't nice. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
She doesn't sound like that, Mitch.
Mitch.
All right, so you're
Erin,
a hawk. You're a hawk.
Will you? Will Erin describe what she's wearing? Because I think it's a propitious day to do so, right?
Oh! Thank you, Mitch, for plugging my my animated show. Is that what you're doing? And paying attention to my girlfriend?
Oh, so that's because of the impression. I feel like I have to.
In the celebration of the premiere of Rick and Morty, the best animated show I've ever seen. I've seen several episodes. It's hilarious. I painted a sweatshirt featuring one of the main characters, Rick.
Yeah. When does it premiere, Dan? When does it air? Tell us.
Rick and Morty airs tomorrow on Adult Swim, but it's been on YouTube the whole time.
But you should
time.
Say the day of the week because it's a podcast.
Well, this but the
Monday.
Podcast will,
so, oh, yeah,
Mondays?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, probably tonight if you're listening to
but
this.
But the podcast will come out in a couple days probably, right? Or does it come out right away?
We're not going to really make those edits, right? So tomorrow. It'll be tomorrow.
So tonight.
Tonight.
Tonight
so tonight, Rick and Morty's on.
Okay, got it.
But it's also been on YouTube for 2 weeks. It's a new business model. I'm just trying to help.
It's December 1st, 2013.
They,
December 1st, 2013.
They put it on YouTube like 2 weeks ago. A week ago.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I saw one hilarious little promo, but I didn't see the episode. I didn't see it on YouTube.
But it's been on YouTube. I don't know what, and I say
it's
this
really
without
funny.
A hint of...
We don't get YouTube. We don't get it.
Criticism. I have no idea what they're thinking. Maybe they're probably thinking wonderful things. They're certainly the best network.
YouTube?
Yeah.
Or
no,
Adult Swim? Yeah, I don't know.
I it's a new. I remember they put the pilot for Community on Facebook a couple days before it aired on NBC, and I remember being young and naive enough to go, "What?" But that means.
Yeah, right.
And I remember someone from NBC Digital basically saying, "In your wildest dreams, so many people would want to watch your shit." Yeah. That this would be a problem.
Right.
And that's the new attitude with
Well, because all
marketing.
Of TV, it's a long con. You know what I mean? Like, you want to get 100 episodes so it's valuable for them, the people that really pay for the
but
thing.
But at the same
so
time,
they just want to get you hooked.
If they dump your shit
like
online and then nobody watches. But I don't think that's the reason nobody will watch. I don't know. I have no
They're
idea
really
how
they're really cute
together,
numbers
right? Mean. We don't know anything.
Those numbers mean nothing.
I know.
Those numbers mean that someone's cat fell asleep on someone's arm. Those numbers mean nothing. They can't mean anything when they're that low.
No. But, you know, even if you just had... Look, even if you just had 10 million viewers...
like everything on basic cable.
Yeah.
Things
get... I mean, apparently, like, even shows like Girls get, you know, in the hundreds of thousands.
Yeah, so, Girls gets, like... I know that it was, like, 600,000 or something. But it's a fantastic show.
It is great.
And I think it's the right 600,000 or whatever the number is.
Now, Dan or Mitch, how would you feel about ratings if you guys were the number one rated show?
I don't think you mess with the system. I think it works. I mean, are we too quick to...
Did anyone say that ratings... We're not sitting up here saying that ratings are unimportant. We're saying the opposite. We're kind of lamenting our... Like, we want a number that says that a billion people are watching our show.
Okay.
Like, we're not going like...
But
oh,
after Arrested, you know, they gave it to MSN, which was, you know, then like a big portal like AOL. It was just all the Arresteds were on there for free. They just gave it all away. Anyway, maybe if everyone here
chips in... I just
want
to entertain...
I was going to say a nickel, but it's not that big of a crowd. If everybody chips in like 10 grand...
Can I tell a story real quick that has nothing to do with this, but it's sort of time appropriate?
Sure, as long as it's about time. Because that's a good segue.
Wow, that
time
was...
is passing, and you're going to tell a time-related story.
By the way, I thought that thing about the reclusive magician was really great.
No, come on.
I was like, oh my God, that's fucking amazing. It's just a sad magician in a room, like, ta-da!
No, see, the way I heard that was it was the best magician in the world who doesn't need the feedback.
Yeah, like Salinger, the Salinger.
Exactly.
Of the
yeah. The trick is the point.
And he just can't fool himself. He just can't do it.
Yeah. I feel like Merlin and Gandalf are probably pretty reclusive. But those are people that did
those
magic.
Those are wizards, not
yeah,
magicians.
But they're also in all those movies.
Yeah.
I think Merlin's pretty social.
What were you gonna say?
What were you gonna say, Camille?
I just thought of it.
You know, the other day I had a shoe.
I'm sorry, that wasn't fair of me to do that impression. I was busting Dan. My impression of Dan jumping in.
I thought of it this weekend because the first time I was in America, I was like really little. I was just visiting, and I landed in Queens where my uncle was, and it was 6 a.m., and we couldn't sleep, and it just happened to be a Thursday morning, and my uncle was like, here, I want to show you something. But my first day in America, and we went down, and he showed me the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, and I had no idea what Thanksgiving was, and I thought that's what happened every day. I was like, we get up, and we fucking, like, look at us go.
How old were you?
I don't remember. I was probably not even, like, maybe 9 or something.
To young Pakistani eyes, did it look like they were, like, dragging animals in effigy down the street? Just out of curiosity, did it look like, oh, they hate Kermit.
They hate Garfield.
I don't think they filter everything through stock footage of
maybe,
terrorists.
I don't know.
He's waiting for Mussolini.
That's the spirit of the question. Did it seem like, oh, you know, this infidel Charlie Brown?
You know, I never used the word infidel until I came to America. Because we were just us.
I think I've told the story, but that at that exact age, even though I was born and raised where the miracles happen, that didn't stop me from watching David Copperfield make the Statue of Liberty disappear.
Oh yeah,
and I tell the story on this podcast where I thought. I watched him make it disappear, and they used to make such a to-do about things in broadcast TV back then that I turned off the TV and was like, huh,
it's gone.
Hundreds of years of history. And how about that? And I remember my aunt coming up going like, what's wrong? And me going like, it's just David Copperfield made the Statue of Liberty disappear. And she's like, oh, interesting. And I was like, interesting?
Why is this?
It's fucked up. Yeah. The French gave it to us. And I was like.
Yeah, it's like 9-11 to your little eyes.
It was like a peaceful 9-11.
Yeah.
I accepted that he really made it disappear for real from the earth.
Yeah.
I was pontificating about whether or not that was right or wrong politically.
I like the idea of like Osama seeing that, also believing it, and then trying to recruit him to like take down.
My aunt was like, "Turn on the TV. I think he probably brought it back." No,
Dan,
I don't think so.
Dan, how did young you feel when the Harlem Globetrotters made it to Gilligan's Island?
Did they really make it there?
They made it.
Metalark is buried there.
deleted scene. Sherwood Schwartz was the best.
Like Belushi, you know, on Martha's Vineyard. People still go out to Burbank in Studio City and you know, just try to find...
Jim Belushi died?
The grave... Of, No, not...
That was part one of a three-part joke that no one did the other two parts.
I think everyone did it in their head.
Good, I've been good in Jim Belushi's basement. Let's play D&D.
Listen... The big story is that you're here to tell it. I mean, there are very few people get out of there.
How did you get out? Yeah.
She's talking about the hipster breakfast place in Connecticut.
Jim Belushi's basement.
Jim Belushi's basement.
The host slaps you on the ass on the way in. Yeah. And you're like, that's so funny.
That's what they call the colon ward at the...
Jim Belushi's basement.
Yeah, because he gave a lot of money to the colon,
Mitch,
colorectal.
Mitch, you're a TV guy. You've been around for a while. I've heard a story. that...
Wait, no, wait. We're interrupting a story about Jim Belushi.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But
I had a boyfriend who was friends with Jim Belushi's son.
Oh, was this in Chicago? His son used to...
It's the same son, I'm guessing.
Okay.
Rob Belushi, I can say that. That's fine.
You know, Mitch, that was very nice of you to point out that she was interrupted.
Jeff, in which case
you're
it was very
a really
rude.
Fantastic guy that's made a lot of quality television.
Thanks.
I like that you're interrupting her story to thank someone for stopping someone else from interrupting her story.
Kumail, I like how diverse you are.
Thank you. Hey, we're just putting the onus on the bonus, right?
And hey, Spencer.
Hey, guys.
You're looking
hi,
good.
Spencer. How are you?
Rob Belushi.
very brief story. I used to date somebody that was friends with Rob Belushi, and one day my ex-boyfriend took me on an outing. I didn't know where we were going, and the big reveal was that we were going to Jim Belushi's basement.
Did he like close your eyes and was like, ah? Are there Jim Belushi posters everywhere?
More or less. But I will say, and I don't think that this is
all
like going. I don't
slightly
think...
newer Blues Brothers merchandise.
Why is there the highest concentration of Jim Belushi merchandise I've ever seen?
Why are there, according to Jim, box sets everywhere?
You guys are doing bits, but I don't think that Jim Belushi would mind me. Well, I don't care what he would mind, but his basement is it's a bar, but it's covered with pictures similar to an Irish bar, but it's just Jim Belushi shaking hands with different people. And so the reveal was, he was like, "Do you know where you are?" And I was like, "Well, someone loves Jim Belushi." Like, oh, I'm at Jim Belushi's house. So that was the big thing.
All the people he's shaking hands with are people who constructed the room, though. Good job on the crown molding.
Well, this is the guy that gave me the Miller Lite.
Thank you for
picture.
Moving this dartboard into
they
here.
They just want to leave.
They just want to leave.
Oh, and a wall with 100 televisions.
This is the guy that sold me the DLP TV.
Man, this guy's really taking a pounding in this conversation.
But I heard a story. He's a very nice man. A story that he pissed off his co-stars on Life According to Jim. Is that what it's called?
According to Jim.
And
according to Jim.
Sorry. Don't get all Indian on me. That he didn't want to go off the set to go pee in the bathroom, which was just off the soundstage. So he took the pickle jar on the craft service table and took a piss in the pickle jar next to his like female co-star. That's a story I've heard.
He must have been like, now am I a legend?
What is it gonna take?
Nobody like,
what is it? Does anyone know the name of his book? It's called.
It's called Pissing in the Pickles.
He has a book called Nah, M'lady, or something like.
It's got the cover of the
that's
book
what I said.
Is a bicep tattoo with the title of the book on it, which is like "Real Men Don't Say I'm Sorry" or something.
Yes,
like that.
That's exactly the title. You what have a great. You have a
I
great
don't own it.
Let it be known, I said nothing against Jim Belushi this entire time.
Don't. Is that an apology? Because I know that Jim Belushi would look down on that. That's not his thing.
What?
You don't. Real men don't say I'm sorry.
Oh.
Also,
Mitch, that was amazing. Mitch Hurwitz.
That's all I want.
Real men will put their shirt back on.
Yeah. I've met him a couple times. Yeah. A very, very nice guy.
Yeah, just so Shabani, Shabani knows. That was me.
Jim Belushi just shot himself. And no one gasped.
Jim Belushi just dropped from the rafters with a half mask on. Hey.
That must have been why we were talking about him. We saw him and we forgot.
He has haunted this comic book store.
I know.
That was actually Amazon drones delivering the man with one red shoe.
The nerd meltdown used to be a cigar humidor. And he's haunted it ever since it got turned into a comic book store. So.
What are all these picture books?
Spot on, Tim Belushi.
Why are none of these pictures of me?
Mitch, have you got a Jim Belushi impression for us?
I've got a John Belushi impression, and it's not very good, so yes.
Oh my god!
No,
oh my god!
I don't
John
I can't believe it. It's too easy. Too easy. And I don't. I have
fuck,
no,
that's funny.
I have no beef with the man.
Jim Belushi, get off the roof! He's trying to get in.
Somewhere Jim Belushi just looked around. He felt that.
Mitch, did you write that a week ago and hope we would get here?
I regret it immediately.
Jim Belushi is in our electronic system.
I know.
He's like,
and in our hearts.
That was amazing.
All right, let's play some. We're at a crucial point in our D&D campaign,
yeah.
Mitch.
I'll let you do it.
Mitch, no.
As a first timer, I want you to treat yourself. Spencer here is our dungeon master extraordinaire.
Hello.
And he will catch us up to date where we are in the campaign.
Yeah. Oh, what's up, you guys? That's good to hear. When we last met, our heroes were being assaulted by a mysterious metal mitt. After pulling the head off their mortal enemy, a massive arm burst through the floor, grabbing Quark and holding him fast. As Mulrane worked to free the halfling, Sharpie quickly turned into gas. The wizard seeped through the crack in the floor and saw the massive metallic golem to which the arm belonged and flowed through his metal plates and into his inner workings. Then as Quark and Mulrane attacked the golem, Sharpie began punching a red glowing node that began emitting a glowing red heat, and then I got pissed and left.
Spencer, point of order. I'm not a halfling, I'm a gnome.
Oh, shit.
Jeff, leave.
If I had something to turn in, like a badge, I'd put it on the table.
But Spencer, you got pissed off last time and left?
Yeah. I mean, something like that.
It was a bit.
Okay.
Yeah. He's not allowed to say it was a bit.
Yeah.
Because how fun would that be?
No, I mean, I'd thought about doing it in the past, but it worked best there in that circumstance.
But we sat here, like, thunderstruck. You
know? Yeah, well, I couldn't be accountable for that at that point.
Yeah.
I could have saved the show, but I was off stage.
All right, so Spencer, draw for us the picture. Remind everybody, and Mitch especially, what we're looking at in the room that we're in right now.
Okay, so imagine you're on the second floor. You're way higher than that. You're up in a tower. There's this arm coming in, and it's grabbing around. It's just an arm. And on the lower level, you got a big robot man, and he's putting the arm up there. And now you are inside this robot.
Right.
And you guys, no, Quark's on the top level, Kumail's on the, Christaberg's on the top level, and Mulrane's on the robot's shoulder.
Is that a true story?
Mitch, Kumail's Kumail's character is Christaberg, the guy that wrote Lady in Red.
He just told me that. That's so funny.
He was like, who's Christaberg? Yeah. Oh, well, so you've heard my work.
No, I'm a big fan.
It's a great song.
Do you have ladies in any other colors?
I guess it's more important than in previous episodes, but if I'm gas and I went gaseously into the robot and I'm like punching, where's my hawk?
Yeah, that's a great
Avenger.
Question.
Can the honk not vaporize?
It can. It can be affected by spells that affect the user.
Oh, really? So the honk came with me?
Yeah, in theory.
All right. I look around for Avenger. Avenger!
That's you.
Played by
Clearly
Robin Williams.
Gotten this far in the podcast. yeah, right here, boss.
Oh, good. Thank you. I was worried about you.
It just got a little gassy, and I just... But I'm here. I'm back.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. All right. I keep punching the... I'm assuming this is the robot's heart, and I'm gonna hit it and stab it and kick it and spit on it.
As you do all those things to the glowing red spot, it begins to glow brighter and hotter and brighter and hotter as it burns you with a glowing hot energy.
Don't stop doing that.
You really?
Yeah. Don't do it.
All right.
Because it's getting hotter.
It is. You take 3 heat damage.
I take 3 heat damage?
Yeah, that's how hot it is.
All right. I wish there was a way to leave like a grenade here and just get out of here.
Well.
I have no grenades.
Do you... I have a feeling I'm supposed to do something.
No, you're just a hawk. You know, I mean, anything that you could conceive of doing as a hawk.
Great.
Gas hawk.
Well, we nest. We have very good eyesight. I noticed there's a ring on the finger.
Yeah, you could peck at things. You could fly an attack with beak and talons.
Yeah, so you're inside this robot also, looking around at all these weird glowing stuff. But being a bird, you don't really get what it means.
Oh, so he doesn't have the brain of a non-hawk. He doesn't have the brain of Mitch Hurwitz.
Well, even your character wouldn't really understand the inside of a golem, you know?
Sure.
Well, yeah. Fuck this thing. I'm shocking, grasping the heart. Fine. I'll take my heat damage, but it's going to get some damage in response. I'm defibrillating this MF.
But that's a good thing. You don't want to do that.
Only if he's dead. It's like a toggle.
Ah.
You ever defibrillate a live person?
Smart.
Yeah.
You have the Hawk seal of approval on that one.
Thank you.
It's like a toggle.
Can I ask you a question?
Please.
I know you can see really far, but up close...
I don't read a lot. No, I don't.
All right. Shock and grasp on the heart.
Grasping the...
If
you
hold
designate
the book
the
really
heart.
Far away, but then... You know what I mean? Then I'm circling and I'm trying to... And I can't... Yeah,
and it's hard to be
I
like,
can't track
the
narrative.
You have to scream, turn the page, you're far away.
You can't... Yeah, you can't...
I've been reading the corrections for about 7 years.
of what?
I think many people have.
All right. You grab the heart thing. It starts being electrified. It takes 17 damage.
Nice.
It's heart damage.
Can I ask, where is Admiral Darkstar at this point?
Well, his head got taken off, and you don't know where he went. He kind of turned into gas also. There's a lot of gas.
So am I being grasped upstairs by the arm?
No, you slipped out of its grasp.
Okay, I go into a barbarian rage.
Yeah, okay.
As I do, twice a day. And I take my mighty great sword and I try to chop off the arm and see if that severs any if robots bleed out of their arteries like mortal beings do.
This one doesn't.
Well, shit.
Yeah, you cleave into its arm and it plinks off of its arm as if it didn't take any damage or get hurt in any way. This sucks.
I say ah fooey.
In a rage.
All right. I know this is going to be one of those things where it's like, oh, send the hawk down to make friends with it. But I.
No, we've tried to make friends every time with something, and it always. Okay. We've put on shows for him.
And you're inside its chest with me. Like,
yeah.
Burning to death.
I'm in there with you.
And you're in a gaseous state right now. You guys are both
really
gas.
No,
you guys are back.
Oh, we're re-solidified, but we're inside a robot's chest just hanging out.
So I'm upstairs.
Did we try to shaking it? What would you?
Shaking its heart? I tried to electrocute its heart.
And
Yeah, if you with your hawk abilities, you could go look for other vital organs.
Well, hawk is—I mean, this again—it sounds like I'm sacrificing myself, but hawks are very fatty birds, and maybe we just cholesterol them. You know, we just get those HDLs up, the LDLs.
I don't
cholesterol
know.
Cholesterol is
work.
A verb.
In the spirit
like
of
it.
Thanksgiving, I will let him eat me.
Spencer, can I use my armlet of summer to ignite my fire armor?
Yeah, you're already on fire armor.
Okay, I thought so, but I was just making sure. And I run up to his neck, and I say, "Heads up!" And wrap my fiery arms around his neck, and then I call out for Avenger. Avenger.
That to you.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just listening to some Chris DeBerge. And what do I do?
Avenger, fly into his neck and peck at his innards.
Well, I got to get out.
If you can get or fly up through.
Okay, while you're holding him, I'm going to do that. I'm going to fly in. I'm going to peck at.
You're already in, so you can just go up to the head.
I'm around the outside. I have my fiery arms around his neck, and I'm trying to. So I'm burning from the outside. Maybe from the inside, you can do like a reverse
almost a
phone
needle
booth
point.
Peck from birds.
All right,
in his neck.
I do an interesting sort of beak dance in his esophagus.
Your interesting set of beak dance, as you put it.
Yeah, is that in your thing anywhere?
Oh, yeah.
Mitch, what you don't know is that I've read all the books, and so, like, I know all these extra things.
Yeah, you roll 3 die for that.
But I have talons. I have talons. I can scratch at it. I can create some esophageal bleeding.
What is the what is the DC on beak dance?
I mean, really, like 26. Wow. That's not a funny thing at all.
No, it's funny because you had an answer. That's why.
But yeah, the talons not so hot against metal as it happens.
Right.
But my armor?
Yeah, it heats it up, but it doesn't do much more than that. So it's hot now.
Okay. So where I am, I'm just watching all this happen.
I guess.
And I have no way to get into any weak parts of the robot from where I am.
I mean, not where you know of. You're up on the second floor with a hand. With Quark.
Oh, and the hand still.
Yeah. You're above the other guys.
Okay. Well, but I... Tell me, can I use a bola to snare the hand and render it immobile?
You can definitely try.
What do you guys think? Is that a fun...
You're going to snare it, you're going to tie it to something or just tie its fingers together or what?
Yeah. That's it. But, I mean, I'm sort of a rope-based combatant, so I really want to work this in. So I take the wooden bola. Is there no way?
It wouldn't fit around the arm, probably.
Oh, okay.
Is there anybody have any magnetism or anything like that?
I have
robot.
Bows.
There's an electrical system we could disrupt.
I'm very charismatic.
You have your arms around his neck. I think that ship has sailed.
But can I try using my talons to get? Are there some kind of wiring? There must be some.
There
kind of
aren't
control.
Actually any wires.
There aren't wires.
No. See, you tried that last week, Dan.
So this is the six.
I was drunk.
Yeah.
Well, we know this is the new one. Has the liar of building.
Oh, who is?
Okay, well, guess what, buddy?
Yeah.
Let me know when it's my turn, because I just found... I just found it.
I think it's Kumail's turn, but if he doesn't want to do anything...
Who is the liar of building? Is that a thing that's useful?
If no one knows, I'll say it's you.
Me?
Yeah.
So can I just build a building under the robot and just... Fucking grow a building through his whole fucking body.
Maybe like an obelisk.
It'd take like a long, long time.
How long?
Like a half hour.
You know, but with some of these liar buildings, it's like 1,000 human hours. So you're saving.
Yeah, I don't know if you took that into account.
I don't know if you heard that part.
It's definitely a wondrous construction.
Okay. But. Well, you know what? I don't... Dan, what do you... I mean, Quark...
I got a little something. I got a little
Sharpie, go for
it. Give a try.
Yeah. Sharpie.
Quick question.
This is like Clarence Darrow closing an argument. This is...
Would you say this item that I'm standing in front of is his heart?
No, it's a golem. It's not like
no,
a
no, but
heart.
I'm saying I'm...
I like how you're already backtracking.
I'm inside of it.
Yeah.
I'm saying, like, would you say that this item that I'm standing in front of is its heart?
No.
This big red thing that's, like, burning me.
Using your knowledge arcana, you determine it to be some sort of heat emission weapon device. Not a heart.
So you're saying this item isn't a heart?
No, it's more of a heat emission sort of weapon.
So you admit it's an item. I shrink item.
Oh, nice. Wow.
Item shrinks to 1/16th normal size.
Clarence Darrow.
It sure does. As you wave your arms about.
Conjurus Minimus!
And speak the magical catchphrase. Before your very eyes, the heat emission object dwindles in size. It dwindles and dwindles and dwindles to about...
1/16th!
1/16th of its original size. It begins glowing brightly and emits the heat of maybe a toaster or something non-lethal.
I turn to Avenger and I'm like,
let's make some toast. Let's eat a little something and then we'll celebrate.
Avenger, I loved Arrested Development.
Oh, that's so nice. Thank you. Oh, I was cut from the pilot, but I was circling the boat in the first scene.
Wait, does that kill the robot?
Nope. Because it's not his heart.
But it's an item.
That was really good.
Spencer, I want to do a power attack at his wrist and pour water into it and see if... No, it's not electric.
There's
it's not electrical.
There's no wires. It's magic.
It's not electrical. Never
mind. It's golem.
Shit. It's a golem.
Okay, I tried this. Is the arm coming through a hole that just fits his arm, or is there space around the hole?
No, there's space.
Okay, I try to stick my my great sword into it and slide down his wrist like Douglas Fairbanks down a sail.
Yeah.
Wow.
Down the road, as they say.
Okay. I didn't know that.
What did he call
it? Thank you.
Down the road?
Yeah.
Down the road is what that's called?
Yeah. It's a cutting reference.
Oh, it's a suicide.
In the front row said it's a suicide joke.
No, not suicide.
Wow.
Well, I guess if you're going down the road, it is suicide.
I mean, look, I didn't know that, but half of our audience did. We have a lot of...
No one is surprised at that.
It's the Tumblr generation.
Do we need to do a sound effect where we all gasp?
Yeah. Oh, my God, Spencer's showing us.
All right, I try to go down the road, man.
You do this as you say it. It does some damage. Let's see here.
But am I sliding down down his wrist?
Oh, yeah. It's breaking your fall as you're cutting it open like a can of meat. Does meat come in a can?
It's
sometimes.
Spam.
Yeah. Spam, corned beef.
Spam's not really. Well, I mean, let's not get spam on right now.
It's not the first example I would come up with when I was coming up with stuff that's in a can. But meat works.
Meat in a can. So you do that. It does... What was that? 18 damage.
All right.
And you find yourself, halfway down its arm.
Am I down into the lower level now?
Definitely there.
So I'm just kind of suspended around his ulna, or what? Like...
Yeah, his ulna.
All right.
It does 18 damage to a thing with 1/16 its heart.
It's not a heart. It's a heat emission device.
It's a hot thing that powers it in its chest.
Does it power it?
No. It's a weapon emission. It's a weapon.
It's just a defense mechanism.
Yeah.
I'm from two floors up. I yell, "It's not his fucking heart!" And then I feel immediately bad.
I yell back, "I'm doing God's work in here! I don't care how long it takes!"
The monster shifts. It's not a monster. It's a fucking whatever. The automaton shifts as its shoulder is now being occupied. It tries to extricate its arm, but it can't seem to get it. It's all messed up from being all sliced open and whatnot.
And down the road. Shrinking its red thing.
No.
Okay. No. It's not a heart.
I'll just let you... Yeah, I mean, not a... sure.
Avenger, I feel like what I did was important.
You know, so much of this is filtered through a bird's eyes, but it's, to me, I really respected it, and I
chose you as a familiar because I feel like everything you've done is important, too.
I haven't done much. I've done some circling, I made some comments about a beak dance, that got some...
You underplay it, you know, you inspire me.
Well, then fuck it, why do we want to hurt this thing? I mean...
This robot?
Yeah.
Oh, no, we do.
Yeah. No, we gotta hurt the robot.
Dumb things.
So the robot's flailing around. It's swatting at you guys, but it's missing. It's not hitting you.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right. I'm still by his neck, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Hugging it.
I'm going to release the heat.
So to speak.
Also the name of my WWE wrestling character. I'm going to release the heat. And I'm going to use my very high diplomacy. And I'm going to say, "Hey! Shut down!" Huh?
Do you need to roll dice for that?
Yeah, no.
I'm going to file this under W for a worth a shot.
Yeah, they dropped Siri from these things a couple of weeks ago. So they don't...
Tell it shut down.
I'll add... There is a mix-up. We talked to your master, and you're actually the welcoming committee. All is forgiven.
Yeah, we forgive you.
Yeah.
No harm, no foul.
It's cool.
It's totally fine. We placated you for a little while because we know this is what you do, and we don't want to insult your strength or your mechanism.
And while she's saying this, me with my sword in its elbow, I go, yeah, we forgive you. Yeah.
Test successful. Test successful. Yeah.
So if you could just lower us down and show us the way out of here. That would be great.
Lady in Red, just to be like, hey, this sounds familiar, right?
Yeah. Resume blowjob mode. As per your ordinary protocol.
Which is what we know you were designed for originally.
Just based on your lips.
Based on that architecture.
Yeah. Based on those DSLs, yeah.
And first DSL.
And really quick with my craft kit, I make a god's eye and I present it.
Yeah, and I say, hey, we shrunk one of your items, but now you're making one of my items grow. And I kind of just look at it for a while, like, anything? No.
And that's. I mean, I know Chris, whatever, DeBerg isn't the sexiest man in America right now, but it has an effect. Imagine that Kamel.
Yeah.
If your children have any bar or bat mitzvahs coming up, I'm sure he would be totally willing to perform at them.
So, what is...
Sorry, everybody.
How is the Gollum response?
Come on, Spencer, play D&D with us.
Yeah, can we roll the dice?
How's Gollum?
How's this robot respond to all this?
You kept track of all this.
Come on, we told you what we did.
I mean, the...
Now tell us what he does.
The hard facts are that I have very high diplomacy.
Hard facts.
These are the hard facts, gentlemen. These stats don't lie.
Does that mean something different than I think it means?
No.
No, I'm supporting you.
No, I think it means, you know, we'll perform at your while this happens.
While this happens, my sword that's in his arm at a horizontal.
Oh, God.
That's all right. That's just my dad.
It's just... I thought it was still Jim Belushi.
Jim Belushi's coming.
It was him trying to do his brother's karate character in the back.
As this is happening, I'm sitting on my sword like a little bird perch.
He's just a killer bee. And he's just...
Yeah.
He's like, well, I'll practice and then I'll show them.
just to add to it, I'm sitting on my sword like a little bird perch and I take out my lute of charming and I play that because to charm him as well.
Okay. Yeah. All right. And I take out my ribbon dagger, and I hold a knife in my hand, and I kind of do like a twirling ribbon dance. You know, like it looks beautiful. I do it great.
You know, and I get out a little typewriter, and I start writing something.
Spencer's
and this is what
leave.
I write. Day three. What's up with rice?
That's day
it's
three.
Not beans. All right.
The what? Pantry Chronicles.
Why'd you start with day three? You had just taken it out.
It's in medias res, or however you say it.
I don't have to tell you when I start my journal.
Anyway, deep within the heroes' hearts, they must have realized that somehow this wouldn't be effective in any way.
However,
go on.
Because it's Thanksgiving. Just as there's not normally a Hong Kong fooey on Macy Street.
That was the end of your pronouncement?
Yeah, nothing happened.
All right, fine.
Okay, all right, we're good.
Fine, we'll show you.
Yeah.
You were sitting and talking to
I do everything by the book, okay? My character does everything by the book for the rest of his life. Every child he has, he's got a certain amount of hit dice, and he does everything just normally, by the numbers.
So Spencer...
Sorry.
He does everything by the book.
Avenger?
I was hoping somebody would.
Then the book.
Then write down.
Then the book
could do everything by himself. I take out the blood book. The blood book. My blood book of blood spells.
Okay.
But this doesn't have blood in it.
It doesn't. It's not a heart.
So why would the
That's
blood
why be- we don't. It doesn't have blood.
I cut myself.
You cut yourself.
I pour blood onto where I'm standing. Is there a shelf near
well,
the?
Well, that's interesting because you would think there's electronics. I keep thinking water. I keep thinking. Yeah.
But there's no electronics.
It's not electronic. It's a golem.
It's made of magic.
But, I know that, and I start. I flip through the blood book, and I'm just randomly. I'm hoping there's going to be a thing that'll turn my blood into something so big that it'll explode the golem from the inside.
Sort of what I tried to do with the building, but you shut me down.
Yeah. All right, that's not going to work. All right, I'm sorry.
Sharpie, look inside. Is there any sort of mechanism or any sort of sinews or things that look vital that we could place?
I examine my surroundings.
There's been a long time since that's happened.
You had to roll the dice? I mean...
What?
I examine my surroundings.
It's a perception check,
gotta
man.
Gotta see how much you see.
I examine all of them.
Okay. Yeah, so you examine your surroundings. You see several glowing things. Three of them are green. Two of them are yellow. You also see two holes below you.
What about those glowing things? That's got to be the key to something, right, guys?
I'm interested in those two holes below them.
One of them was my daughter.
So that's happening.
Are the glowing things like glowing balls? Can I get up to them?
You can't. You're outside.
You can't. You're not in here.
Yeah.
All right. Avenger, inside. To the holes.
Yeah, on the inside. To the holes. I'm going down into the holes.
Let's go in the holes. We're going to the holes.
I hope this is not a
How big are the holes?
They're man-sized.
Man-sized? Like we can fit in them?
Yeah.
Avenger.
They gotta be the legs.
Guys, you're just going into the feet.
Nice.
Well, I mean, you say it like that. I mean, this is... A second ago, we were inviting people to...
No, you said there's two green, two yellow, and
just going into the feet. Three green, two yellow.
Three green, two yellow.
Yeah, figure out the pattern there.
Are there holes on the outside?
No.
Three green, two yellow. It's
no,
something.
That's
it's
a mislead.
Yeah, it's not anatomical. It's not like there's not like two legs that are the size of a dude.
Says the heart guy.
but they must go somewhere. I mean, I could explore.
Avenger, you
could go in and look around that look around thing you did.
Yeah, and I'll go down the other one.
Let's go.
High five before we go.
Okay, high wing.
Avenger, I love your work.
You guys jump down the holes, and what you see is really strange. You see a glowing stone floating in mid-foot.
Are we both together again?
Nope. So that's got to be a power, you know.
We both see glowing stones.
Yeah,
so this has got to be the power source of this thing.
I feel like it should be someone else's turn unless we want to keep
it's Chris's
working.
Turn.
Yeah, yeah, okay. All right.
Okay. Well, I'm outside of all this. I have no idea what's going on, right? Yeah. Can I take my wire saw?
Yeah.
I'm
in the feet. Easy with the saw.
Can I get down to the feet from where I am?
It would take you
a turn?
Yeah.
Well, what can I reach of the robot where
you
I
can
am?
Get down to his shoulder, I think, or maybe his torso.
I just go and I dip the saw in the acid. I have 5 vials of acid, and I just pour all of them on there, on the wire saw.
Uh-huh.
Hopefully they don't dissolve the saw itself.
Yeah.
And they don't.
I feel like that's what happens.
Okay, all right. Well, I go, oh, no, take back.
He still has the handle.
I have to handle.
It's like a Marx Brothers routine.
Is the robot poison? Can I use any of the poisons? Blue cap?
Red? No, not on our robot.
All right, well, I just go down there and I start sawing at the neck of the...
Nice.
I jump out of the way.
Your blade bites deeply into the metal, and you continue to saw vigorously.
It, you know, it'll take some time. It's sawing.
Is it going to take longer than making a fucking building would have?
No, not quite as long.
Okay.
Whose turn is it?
Yours.
About me?
Maureen. We'll go this way.
Okay, great.
Okay. I am going to... Can I jump into his face down to where the glowing things are? Like, can I jump into his mouth?
Into his mouth?
Yeah.
No, it doesn't really have a proper mouth.
All right. I don't know why that's funny. Okay. All right. Well, then I'm going to help Chris saw. Will that speed it up?
Yeah, definitely.
All right. Hey, I gotcha.
Oh, cool. You know, I almost dissolved my own saw with these acids. What a maroon.
Now, does the golem have a head, this robot thing?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, that's what we're trying to saw.
I go onto the other side and do a flaming sword power attack and try to chop his head from the other side.
Nice. All right. Oh, fuck.
Oh.
You critically hit.
Whoa!
It deals 26 damage.
Oh!
You guys are wailing on it from both sides. It's got maybe a third of its neck left at this point.
Yeah.
Mitch, you having a good time?
Yeah, I feel like I'm glad the sawing is stopping because that's been annoying. That sound.
We're almost done with the sawing.
You guys go.
All right, so I got a gem in front of me.
We combine the gems. I mean, obviously, I'm the interloper here. I don't
even think we're in the same place. Like,
you got a gem, I got a gem.
We both went down two different holes.
We each have a gem,
and we're standing in front of two different.
There's
gems.
A reason these gems.
Can I
are
cast
kept
shrink
separate?
Shrink item on again?
Yes.
You're just making the thing that on the jewel. This
yeah, thing. Now it's hey man, however many hearts this thing has.
I open my mouth and I don't say anything, and I just nod.
Minimus itemus.
That's a different magical phrase than the last time.
It's I'm like Lou Diamond Phillips in La Bamba. I don't sing it the same way. Yeah. It's not part of my people.
Oh, then it works.
That Jim. Right. Easy, Jim. According to Jim, the show is almost over.
Okay, you cast it on this gem, and it seems to not shrink. But then it does.
Yeah.
That's good storytelling.
That's drama.
Good. Good
that's
use of the call.
Yeah. That is because for a second it seemed like it wasn't going to shrink.
I know.
And I was like, oh, God. And then it shrunk.
That's what I was going for.
That is what you were going for.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
And I can't see, so I go, guys, did it shrink right away, or was there a moment?
No, I did the exact same thing. I thought it wasn't going to shrink, and then...
Oh, you guys must have been terrified for that split second.
Yeah, right at the start, when it seemed like it wasn't going to shrink.
Yeah.
Cut the chatter, Red 2.
Yeah, so as you shrink the power gem, you notice the ambient lights of all the glowing things above your head start to dim and... go dim.
So that was the light dimmer.
Great. Great work by our lighting expert.
They're over there.
Literally, I saw him walk away.
Yeah. Right, so, Avenger!
Go right over to the guitar
shrink
center.
Your gem! Oh,
sorry, go ahead.
Shrink your gem! I'm being ironic. I know you can't. You don't have a spell.
I'm in a foot, and I really can't.
You don't know you're in a foot. You made that assumption from the moment we went down those two black holes.
I really can't hear you.
I think you can. We're like Beastmaster and Beastmasty.
Oh, thanks. I'm a huge fan of your work too.
Oh, thank you.
Inspired by it.
Thank you. That's not possible, but thank you.
No, well,
guys, maybe we should slow down with taking off this head and give them a little more time in there.
Yeah, we stop sawing. We're just gonna give them a little more time.
No, don't stop sawing.
Yeah, don't stop on our account.
We just don't want to invade your intimacy.
Keep sawing, you guys. Saw away.
What happened? It shrunk. That was a good thing, right?
Yeah.
Guys, the show's over in a minute. We gotta.
Okay, we're about. Is there any way you can get to the other foot quickly and also shrink it?
Nope.
Sorry, everybody.
Can I put my armor on the saw to make it go faster to heat up the metal?
It kills my saw again.
Yeah, it would.
Hey.
This saw.
I think is it possible? I mean, this is putting a lot of onus on the bonus here. But is it possible? Because we're wrapping the show up here, we got to get out of here. Avenger and Sharpie have a kind of a moment here, like to kind of some sort of cliffhanger.
But we're separated,
huh? Well, get together and have a. You guys are both.
I feel like what we need to do is pull back from the whole combat scene to a kind of Rod Serling like genie voiced by Robin Williams.
All right,
who just sort of.
Oh, they're in trouble now.
Everybody. Thank you so much. We fucking did it. Thank you so much, everybody, for coming. One more time, Aaron McGathy, Spencer Crittenden, Kumail Nanjiani, Mitch Hurwitz. I'm Jeff Davis. One more time for your mayor, Dan Hartman. Thank you all. Have a good night.